Vermont PBS and Vermont Public Radio are allies to Front Porch Forum and 7 Days and VT Digger and your local radio and TV and newspapers. And we're allies in trying to keep the attention and the money and the conversation local instead of having everything turned over to these multinational corporations.
Welcome to Learning Life.
And the thing that I've realized from the CEO to the NFL football player to the janitor, we're our toughest critics and we're hardest on ourselves.
But you have to be willing to say and point out the things that need to be said.
The only way to grab somebody's attention is with a story.
Welcome to Learning Life with John Toda and another Vermont Local episode. My guest today is Scott Finn, president and CEO of VPR and Vermont PBS. With the recent merger of Vermont Public Radio and Vermont PBS, Scott now leads Vermont's largest media organization with a statewide radio and TV network and a growing library of on-demand programs that collectively reach over a million people each month. Scott was previously the CEO and executive director of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and before that, the news director for several public media stations in West Virginia and Florida. So we're lucky to have Scott with us today to talk about the importance of public media in our Vermont community and the vision for the future of VPR and Vermont PBS. There's so much to learn from Scott, so I'm excited to get into it. Scott Finn, welcome to Learning Life.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me here.
So I'm honored to have you on the show today, and I'm a huge fan of everything you've been doing with VPR and now Vermont PBS. But before we dive into it, tell us what brought you to Vermont in the first place.
Well, yeah. Well, I often tell people this is, I feel like my entire life has prepared me to come to Vermont and lead this organization. I grew up in rural Iowa, and my mom and dad had never gone to college, but they were really interested in education. And I lived in a place where you only got 2 TV stations with our little antenna on top of our house. That kind of tells you how old I am. And thank God one of those stations was Iowa Public Television. It really changed our lives. And, you know, public TV, public libraries, and public schools were transformative for these 5 kids. Me and my brother and my 3 sisters all went to college and all went on to have really successful careers because of that. And so I ended up going away to school and then moving to West Virginia, which seems like it's really different from Vermont and Iowa, but actually there's more in common than you might think. And I lived in West Virginia for most of my adult life, first as a community organizer, then as a reporter, and then later in public media there. And to me, Vermont has some of the best of both worlds. It has the agricultural history, and it has a sort of communal attitude that a lot of small towns in Iowa have. And it has the beauty of the mountains and the sort of the independent spirit of folks in West Virginia. But the main reason I'm here, frankly, John, is because of Vermont Public Radio and Vermont PBS. They're incredible stations, small but mighty. You know, we have a podcast called Brave Little State, and these are brave little stations that reach, as you said, a million people on a regular basis. About 1 in 3 Vermonters use these services on a regular basis. So it's a very, very important platform for the people here. And I'm loving being here. This is great.
Yeah, and I love talking to you about public media and the impact that it has on communities, and particularly smaller communities like ours. What do you see as a difference or a main difference in your job and the challenges that you face here in Vermont with public media as opposed to West Virginia and Florida and the other places where you've done it?
Yeah, well, I mean, part of what is great about public media in Vermont is that there's already a lot of social trust among people here and in the communities here at a level that we just didn't have in West Virginia because of our different histories and cultures. And so VPR and Vermont PBS are really an important part of that and maintaining that. By being a statewide network, we're bringing people together in Bennington and all over the state and in Burlington and places that are very disparate for each other. We're creating this sense of being one place, one Vermont, and having that conversation, that civil dialogue every single day about who we are, what we believe, and where we want to go. So that's what's really cool about this place. Public media is really important here. People take it very seriously, and they have a strong sense of ownership. Of course, Sean, that's also kind of a challenge for me because people have very high expectations for their public media here, and they'll let you know if they feel like you're going off track or and what they want you to do, which is great. That's exactly how it should be.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you even see that more intensified in smaller communities because they feel like they can reach out and get a hold of you more easily. And so I think an amazing part of the story now, too, is that just recently you brought together VPR and Vermont PBS. Tell us a little bit about that merger and what that brings to the organization as a whole now.
Well, it's, you know, PBS stations and NPR stations in general have a lot in common, more in common. They, you know, and back in the day, it may have made more sense to have them be separate from each other because, you know, TV and radio were vastly different disciplines in terms of technology. But now the technology is really merged. And you have NPR stations that are doing video, and you have PBS is doing podcasts. And so really, it doesn't make as much sense on the technology side to be separate. Meanwhile, the advantages of coming together are huge. I worked for two other stations, one in Tampa and one in West Virginia, that were this combined station, a PBS station and an NPR station together. And that allows you to do a lot more. It allows you to talk to people in different platforms, in many different platforms. And one of the things that Vermont PBS brings to the table is Emmy-winning video content. They're really good at it. And what VPR brings to the table is a real reputation around news and storytelling in that sense, and also a pretty devoted large audience in Vermont. And so those two things together, we're hoping, will allow us to do what we need to do, which is to reach out to diverse, broad audiences. So I told you, I think about 1 in 3 Vermonters engages with us on a regular basis, but we're not happy with that. We're like, what about the other two? What about the other two thirds? Where are they? And what we hear from folks is they look at what we're offering right now. And sometimes those people will say, well, that doesn't sound like something I would like. You know, that doesn't look like it's a place where I would be having fun or enjoy. And so I think that sometimes it's about reaching out to those potential audiences and showing them what we have that they would enjoy and that they would engage with. And sometimes, John, frankly, it's about us doing something different than what we're doing today on different platforms or different content that would reach out to those new audiences. And that's what we intend to do.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's in one of the interesting points that I want to dive into with you is the audience and how you're reaching them. Obviously, I think Vermont PBS reaches a different audience than VPR in most cases. And then there's an audience in the middle that gets their news and their content in lots of different ways. What are you seeing collectively across the board as far as that audience and where are the gaps where you want to improve?
Yeah. I mean, John, you know, you and I talked about this earlier and everyone is seeing it in their lives. We are shifting from a linear broadcast or cable experience to on demand. And I don't think that linear experience will ever go away. Matter of fact, our broadcast audience on TV and radio, it's really important to maintain that so that everybody can have free access to this content. And yet we do know that audiences are more and more wanting to listen and watch on their own time. And they're being more selective in what they spend their energy and time on. And so we have to adjust to that. And it's not just about taking our existing content and putting it on new platforms. You have to change what you do on these new platforms because they demand a different type of presentation. And so, you know, we've done things like Brave Little State, which is a podcast that is also, we also do it as a program on the radio as well, but mainly it's a podcast. And what we do is we ask the audience, what question about Vermont do you want us to answer this week? And those questions come in, we put them up for a vote. They're voted up and down on social media. And then we work with the question asker, the person that submitted the question, to report out the story and to bring you the answer in a sort of a rich way. And it's not an accident, John, that Brave Little State happens to have our youngest and most diverse audience of any of our programs. And so we're trying to see if we can take that success and build it out on video and reach younger, more diverse audiences. Right now, we're reaching kids on PBS, PBS Kids 8 and under. We're the most popular media content for kids 8 and under. We beat Disney. And so that's great. But then we tend to lose kids after 8. And then our audience for news and other content on PBS and NPR tends to be 50 plus. So we have this huge middle ground of people who are older than 8 and younger than 50 that we need to do a better job of reaching.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that subsection of the audience are the generations that want to participate more and capture their content in different ways. And I think your point is spot on that, yeah, you can use all these different media formats, but if you're just repurposing the same old content, into a podcast show or putting it out on YouTube, it's still the same content. And I think this perspective of kind of looking at it from this new lens of saying, hey, we want to democratize the media a little bit and allow people to contribute to it. And that kind of taps into that generation. So I think you told me a little bit about this vision of content being more created with the people, not for the people. And that's what we're talking about here. Is that something you see doing more of, like Brave Little State, things like that, to reach that audience?
Yeah, we'd like to. And we'd also like to partner with all the individuals and organizations that are making their own content and figure out how we can support that. It doesn't necessarily mean that content that's being made by other folks is going on the radio per se. It doesn't have to be that. But we've talked about, you know, could we do, you know, have a conference where we bring all the content makers together in Vermont to talk about what they do. Of course, we have COVID issues now, but later. We did something about 3 years ago called Invasion of the Pod People, where we tried to gather podcast makers in Vermont at VPR, and we just learned about each other and supported each other. So I think that's a possibility. I do think we do things like partner with Erica Heilman, who does a really great podcast called Rumble Strip about real people in Vermont. And, you know, there's an example of we're partnering with an independent producer and putting it on the air, because that really sounds great. And I would love to do more things around youth media, especially around, you know, helping youth make media and then taking some of that content and getting it to larger audiences. So sort of being the sort of megaphone for some of the great stuff that individuals and groups are doing in Vermont.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I think it's such a great idea, and it taps into what this next generation really wants in their news media and public media. And so it brings up the question that I have to ask you about. You've kind of got a varied audience here. You've got kind of your traditional, as you explained them to me a little bit, the traditional audience that might skew more liberal, more educated, a little bit older. And then you're trying to diversify and really tap into the people that need this content the most that might be different than your typical listener base, at least for the VPR audience today. How do you cater to both audiences without turning one or the other off? Is that something that you're really looking at a lot now?
Yeah, this is a great question, because the whole point is for us to, first of all, honor our existing audience that has gotten us to the place where we are today. Which, by the way, it is more diverse than you might think. It does include people from all socioeconomic backgrounds. Nationally, about one third of regular NPR listeners self-identify as conservative. So there is some diversity in there. And yet, you're right. You're absolutely right. We need to do a better job of reaching out to the BIPOC population, which, according to the census, has almost doubled in Vermont in the last 10 years. We need to reach out to younger people, as we talked about. And also, you know, we're doing this thing with StoryCorps called One Small Step, where we are bringing together people who consider themselves ideologically or politically conservative with folks on the other side of the spectrum to have respectful conversations across difference. And often those conversations are about things that have nothing to do with politics, where politics is tangential, but they had a similar life experience. Maybe they both lost a parent when they were young. Or music is another way to bring people together who often have very different political beliefs. And I think it's really important, as the country continues to polarize, that public media is about building community across these differences. Just the other day, John, I was part of this effort. The Vermont Council on Rural Development does these listening sessions with different towns, where they ask them, like, what do you want to improve on? What's a project you want to do? And so we were doing this yesterday in Barrie, which most people in Vermont, you know all about it. It's, you know, the Granite City. It's a town that has a lot of great resources, a beautiful downtown, and it also has some challenges. It's also lower income than most of Vermont, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to all of these challenges, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, a lot of this is about learning how to, VPR and Vermont PBS need to be engaging with a lot of these younger folks or people that are not necessarily, you know, have a traditional higher level of education, because they would really benefit from our programming. We need to be capturing this. A lot of them could be making content and we're not getting it out to folks. But also there's this desperate need for us to bring people together within these communities. There's so much tension around coronavirus, around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I see us as trying to bring people together across these differences to have these conversations. And it was funny. We had a meeting asking people around diversity, equity, and inclusion about how they feel it's going in Barrie. And there was a person of color there who stood up and said, I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe expressing myself even now. There was an LGBT individual who stood up and said, I don't feel safe, and I've lived here all my life. And then there was someone who self-identified as being conservative. And he said, well, I don't feel safe expressing my beliefs. And I'm like, how can we get these people feeling safe and comfortable in expressing their beliefs in a productive way? And I think that's what public media is all about.
Yeah, no, I think it's so important. And like you said, is it a lot of people who've come on the show and they've talked about one of the things they love most about Vermont is the community and how people want to help each other work together to overcome the challenges that we all have to deal with here. And certainly in the last year and a half, 2 years, there's been more challenges than usual. And so it's great to see public media kind of taking that role and leading in a way that a lot of other organizations just can't do. My other question for you is, you are a very big media organization, even bigger now since the merger. You reach so many households. And Vermont's also got this underlying feel that bigger isn't better or bigger is bad in a way. How does VPR and Vermont PBS overcome that? Do you see that as a challenge that you need to face and really deal with?
Yeah, I think we overcome that perception through our value of service and service to the community, but also service to other media in the state and other media makers. So I think that public media is supposed to do that which commercial media cannot, because it's not necessarily profitable for them or is not able to do for whatever reason. And so one thing that we do increasingly is we're trying to partner with other media together. So we've done, for example, investigations with VT Digger, which is another nonprofit media organization, or 7 Days around issues that Vermonters, you know, are caring about. And we both do better storytelling together than we would separate, and we reach more people that way. We've also been in conversations with people who make media individually and also small community radio stations and people who are in the public access television community, trying to figure out how, again, we can be a megaphone for them, that we can help train, that we can help support, that we can maybe curate great content that other people are making. So that at the end of the day, I really feel like our competition in the media in Vermont is definitely not each other. It's competition for people's attention. And these large multinational corporations like Facebook and Google and Apple that we use every day, they are sucking up increasing amounts of our data, money, and time. And that people like Vermont PBS and Vermont Public Radio are allies to Front Porch Forum and 7 Days and VT Digger and your local radio and TV and newspapers. And we're allies in trying to keep the attention and the money and the conversation local instead of having everything turned over to these multinational corporations.
Yeah, I love your perspective on that because it's so true. You start to lose your audience, not to each other, but to, you know, the Facebooks and Googles of the world, which is fine, but we all know you get a very narrow view of what's going on and you don't see the other side very often. And
we were set up, public media was set up in the 60s with the vision of TV, mostly TV was seen as a wasteland. That's in the report. that basically that there was so much that television was not doing at the time. And increasingly, PBS started doing all of the things that now other commercial media have picked up on. Cooking shows, you know, how to fix your house, this old house, quality kids educational television. You know, we were there first because no one else was doing it yet. And now the need is more local. Increasingly, you know, there are about half as many journalists in Vermont today than there were 20 years ago, John. Wow. We've had that much of a decrease. And so what we need to do is we need to band together to fill that need. And we need to be big enough and strong enough as a state in our local media to be able to defend ourselves against these sort of market forces that are literally killing local media. And so that's part of what we're trying to do here. And what we do here, if we succeed in figuring that out, will be a model that other places will look at to preserve and protect their local media ecosystem as well.
Yeah, I love that. And I think you coming on a small independent show like ours and talking about all of this stuff from that perspective is just a testament of what VPR and Vermont PBS are trying to do at that scale. So I think it's great. And I also see, like you said, I've got 3 young boys and I think they're just over the Vermont PBS, the typical audience age. They're over, my youngest is just about 8. Yep. And so they start to go to YouTube now, and they go to TikTok, and they go to Facebook. Well, my guys aren't on Facebook yet, but we hope.
They might not do Facebook. They might skip that one.
They might skip that. All right, that's not cool enough anymore, so we don't have to worry about it.
They only go on Facebook to talk to grandma, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And so I look at this as a challenge for us in public media and in the local media space of how do we compete with the amount of those things and the volume and quality of content that they have such easy access to. What are you looking at in the future? How are you going to reach those kids when they kind of age out of the typical audience of Vermont PBS and now they're getting stuff in other ways? Are there new media that you're looking at and ways that you're going to reach that kind of middle audience?
Yeah, I'm going to say something about a study that we've just had recently that'll shine light on this issue of young people, but also I'm going to give examples from my family as well. There was a study that was done by Sesame Workshop with the people that do Sesame Street, but it was about tweens and teens and public media. And the bad news is that teens and tweens don't, as you have reported to me, and it's my experience, don't really engage with public media at all, hardly at all. And so we're not serving them very well yet. On the other hand, there is a great desire for this age group. They want to see people like themselves. They want trustworthy information and content, and they desire that, and they have a hard time finding it in that ecosystem of TikTok and YouTube that they're living in. And they really, when we give them something in public media that's relevant to their lives, they engage with it. So it's a solvable problem for us. They need us. We can serve them. We have to just decide to do it. And my example is my 18-year-old daughter, Iris. She's a reluctant NPR listener. Let's just say that. In the backseat of the car, often with her headphones in, listening to her own music instead of NPR on the radio. And I get that. But one day I remember we were driving along and an interview came up with a young woman, African-American, a Black woman who is a high school senior at a local high school here. And she was talking about her struggles to be a senior, to be an activist, as she is, in Vermont. And I didn't even know that Iris was listening in the backseat, but she was. And we got home and the interview wasn't over and I was going to turn off the car. And Iris says, well, don't turn that off. And I'm like, aha, my 18-year-old has had a driveway moment. And I asked her, why did you want to listen to the rest of that interview? She said, I liked hearing from people like me. So it's not rocket science. We just have to do a better job of it. And that's what I'm hoping we'll be able to do.
Yeah. And I think your plans to capture more content from creators all over the state who today now it's very easy to create good media from wherever you are and being able to surface that and get it to the tweens and the teens out there that may now really relate to it. I think your point's right. It's really all about the content and feeling like you can relate to it. You know, one other thing you had mentioned to me when we talked, so I just wanted to touch on it, is the topic of gaming and maybe looking at it through that lens of VPR and Vermont PBS. I look at my sons and I think they spend probably more of their time playing different games online, and whether it's Fortnite or the sports games or what have you. Do you see that as being an avenue that you could really get into and tap into and maybe build that local community from an online gaming perspective?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that one of the problems with public media is we have decided that we're frozen in amber, that because 50 years ago we were set up to do TV and radio, that all we know how to do is audio and video. And in fact, you know, media is so much richer than that. And if we want to reach new audiences, we might have to produce different types of content. And by the way, I see what's going on with social media and Front Porch Forum is like intensely local social media is growing out of that sort of social media is a wasteland. We need to do something different. We need an alternative. And I think that's where Front Porch Forum came from. Yeah. So, you know, there are lots of opportunities here and we're going to explore all of them in the years that are coming up. I sat down with my daughter recently to watch the end of a video game, the Walking Dead video game.
Yeah.
And I cried. It was moving. I'm like, oh my, I mean, I didn't know that. You know, for someone who grew a Gen Xer, and I think you and I are about the same age, who grew up with like Oregon Trail and such bad graphics. I'm like, this experience of playing this game is moving me. And so, yeah, I think we all have to kind of like expand our horizons a little bit and think about reaching people in completely different medium. And it's exciting to do so.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And yes, I came up on the early Nintendo games and all of that. And you look at what they're – sometimes I see them playing a game on the TV and I think they're actually watching a sports game or a movie because they've done such a good job with the quality of those. So, yeah, it's a totally new world. And so for our listeners, I think you mentioned a couple of the shows, but I really want to turn them on because this is a podcast show, so they'll be listening online. And I think VPR's got so many great podcast shows, and they're all a little bit different. Can you kind of highlight a couple that people should be looking at and what they're all about?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to start with a show called Made Here, which is a showcase of regional documentary work and storytelling. It's on Vermont PBS and on the Vermont PBS app and Roku. You can stream it. And it's just it's curating the best of the best of video storytelling in New England, upstate New York, and Quebec. So check that out, Made Here. And then if you have kids, Mr. Chris and Friends, we do a high quality, really well-respected children's show. It also has shorter videos with Chris Dorman, who's a spectacular performer who lives in our area. So check that out on video. On our audio side, Brave Little State, we have a kid's show called But Why?, which Jane Lindholm, who's the former host of Vermont Edition, she's the host and the creator, answers kids' questions. Hugely popular with young children and their parents. And then as far as like trying to reach new audiences, we have a daily podcast called The Frequency, along with a daily email newsletter called The Frequency. And it's everything you need to know about Vermont in just a few minutes. And it's on demand, on your time, hosted by Henry Epp and Anna Van Dyne, and it's spectacular. So, and again, we want to hear from you. So if you're interested about this is what I think you ought to do in Vermont PBS and VPR. We're doing a lot of soul searching and strategic planning right now. Just reach out to me. Email us sfin@vpr.org or sfin@vermontpbs.org or check out our websites, vpr.org or vermontpbs.org.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I will be checking out all the shows, particularly the ones for the kids, and see if we can get them back into the VPR and Vermont PBS family and keep them there for good. So thank you so much for coming on the show. It's so great to hear your vision for public media in Vermont and the value that it really serves for all of us. So thank you for taking the time to be here.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here each week. As you know, we have a new episode that comes out every week. So wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe, leave us comments. We'd love to hear from you guys. And until our next episode, happy learning. Hey everyone, John Toda here. I want to thank you for tuning into the show each week. We love our Learning Life community and are so grateful for your support. We'd appreciate it if you would take a minute to rate us and write a review for Learning Life wherever you're listening right now. Your ratings and comments help new people find the show so we can keep growing our community and bringing great interviews on the topics you care most about.